Welcome to Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio, where we explore people, stories, and events in Central Iowa. I'm your host today, Ursula Rudenberg. Hello, and thank you for listening. Well, the ice storm did not really materialize last night in Central Iowa. We did have some freezing rain, but today it should just kind of turn into rain throughout the day with probably a high near 34 with a 100% chance of precipitation. So I guess we're all glad that we don't have to deal with too much ice today. There's supposed to be rain tomorrow and possibly snow tonight. And again, on Wednesday, it's going to stay in the 30s, but the sun's going to come back out. So today and tomorrow, it's kind of going to go between rain and snow. On Wednesday, it'll be partly sunny with a high near 35. Thursday's going to be sunny, up to 37. Friday, sunny, and Saturday also will be mostly sunny. The temperatures are predicted for being around 42.
Today's focus on phenology are white-tailed jackrabbits. Phenology is the recording of nature's happenings when they occur. The changing season has jackrabbits changing the color of their winter coats. They have two color phases. In summer, their back is brownish-gray speckled, like a typical cottontail. With the coming of winter, jackrabbits shed their summer fur, and the coat becomes white, except for the black tips of the ears. This changing fur coloration aids in concealing the jackrabbit during the seasonal conditions it encounters. Jackrabbits are a larger cousin to cottontailed rabbits. Jacks weigh between 6 and 10 pounds and are about 2 feet in length. Jackrabbits are famed for their ability to cover long distances rapidly. When disturbed, jackrabbits bound or lope, covering 5 to 10 feet with each stride. At maximum speed, 20-foot leaps are possible, while 2 to 5 feet in the air. Speeds of 30 to 35 miles per hour are not uncommon. Jackrabbits also possess the ability to swim. Jackrabbits were probably common in northwestern Iowa in pre-settlement times. With settlement and the cultivation of the tallgrass prairie, the range of jackrabbits in Iowa expanded into central and western Iowa. In the modern era, intensive row crop cultivation has proven to be detrimental to jackrabbit numbers since the mid-1960s. The conversion and elimination of pasture, hay, and small grain habitats has been the primary reason for the decline of jackrabbit populations. However, even in intensely farmed regions, jackrabbit populations continue to exist around airports, golf courses, and other areas where treeless, open grassy habitat is available. It is perhaps these areas in northern and western Iowa that have allowed jackrabbits to persist in today's row crop-dominated landscape. The ISU Research Farm, 5 miles west of Ames near the Consolidated School, is one such area. The landscape includes mowed grassy strips around the agricultural research plantings that provide a residual jackrabbit population to persist. Another area known to contain jackrabbits near Ames is the landscape around the Milford Township School along E-29, northeast of Ames. In that neighborhood, I once heard my dog yipping out a hot pursuit of a jackrabbit running down the middle of the road. And when, to my dog Zephyr's surprise, the jackrabbit reversed course and ran right by her in the opposite direction, and she flips around to resume the chase. There was little chance of her catching that jackrabbit, but she was giving it her all just the same. Well, you probably guessed what happened next as the jackrabbit reversed course again and ran right by the discombobulated bird dog a second time. So there are still a few white-tailed jackrabbits in the area, maintaining a presence of the prairies in our changing seasons to winter white. And that's our focus on phenology for today.
That glimpse into our environmental world was provided by Pat Schlarbaum, KHOI's environmental reporter, and we certainly don't have any shortage of regular rabbits. Over Thanksgiving weekend, I was driving home at night with my sister, and all of a sudden, this up on Ross Road, this little rabbit ran out in front of our car, and then all of a sudden, he saw the headlights of the car, and he did a backflip. It was so cute. He just jumped up in the air and did a somersault in the air and ran away. Anyway, this is Local Talk, where we explore people, stories, events in Central Iowa, and I'm your host today, Ursula Rudenberg. Today, it is my pleasure to introduce April Katz to you. If you don't know April Katz, she is a professor for printmaking at Iowa State University at the Department of Art and Visual Culture. The Iowa State University Print Society will host its 15th annual International Postcard Print Exchange, and it's happening from November 30th through December 4th at the ISU College of Design. Printmakers are invited to send 13 original, identical 4x6 prints in response to a theme that's given each year, and artists can interpret the theme in any way they wish. The show features original prints by 421 artists from 32 U.S. states and from many, many countries around the world. So it's kind of a unique exhibit that happens here at Ames, and Professor Katz is with us today to tell us about this, what's really going on. Welcome, April. It's nice to have you here.
Oh, it's so nice to be here. Thanks for inviting me.
So explain what's happening with this exhibit.
Well, we've done this for 15 years, and what we do is the students in the club select a theme, and this past year, the theme was heroine, as in a female hero, but it could be interpreted in many ways, and we encourage that even more by using a series of brackets around the word, so it could be read hero in E, and one person had Eleanor Roosevelt, so she, you know, focused on the letter E. Or it could be heroin, as in the drug, or it could be, again, a powerful woman. And there was one postcard in particular I remember that had the word mom, if you looked at it one way, but then it also was wow. So wow, mom, as a heroine. And just a real playful, positive kind of response.
So who comes up with these themes?
Well, we do a kind of brainstorming session in the middle of the fall semester each year, and they come up with a list of possible themes and then vote on it. It's not always the one that I want, but I'm not a voting member. It's the students who choose.
And which students are these?
These are members of what's called the University Print Society, or UPS. We don't wear brown. Well, some of us do, but it's not a requirement.
And the University Print Society is a society of students who do printing? Is this?
That's right. And some of them are actually enrolled in print classes. Others hear about the club and just want to participate and enjoy learning the processes. And the club hosts this print exchange every year and an exhibit. They raise funds and do through printing on T-shirts. They have printmaking workshops. And they go to our annual international print conference every year.
Uh-huh. It's a student club.
Yeah.
Okay. Just to be clear here, we're not talking about reproducing paintings or reproducing text. We're talking about printmaking as an art form of making original art.
That's exactly right. So within the realm of printmaking, there are many processes available in order to use printmaking to create art. So one of them would be what's called relief printmaking. That most of us have done that. If you've used a rubber stamp, that's relief printmaking. But some of you may have heard of woodcuts, for instance. So you carve away the part you don't want.
And linoleum cuts.
A linoleum cut, exactly. Mm-hmm. And it's the raised surface that prints. The reverse of that intaglio involves things like etching or engraving, and in that process, it's the incised or lower surface of the printing plate that prints. Another one would be a kind of stenciling, and silkscreen is the one that's most commonly associated with that, where there's a hole that and ink is passed through that hole. And the final one is a planographic process and lithography, which is the process used to print all the printed material you get, the newspapers and magazines, and that's based on a chemical differentiation between the image and non-image area. So all of those, plus digital printing and traditional photography, are all accepted methods to use in our print exchange. So if anyone out there wants to participate, and you do digital prints, for instance, we accept that as well, and you just have to make 13 identical prints and send them on.
There's a size required, and then it should be one of those printing methods. In other words, just about any printing method there is. Are there any other requirements? Explain the postcard part of it.
Well, there's a tradition that's began in the last century of mail art. I'm not talking gender here. I'm talking about passing through the postal system. So therefore, you are supposed to send them through the mail. So the card is supposed to be designed so that there's a stamp and addressing on one side, and then on the reverse side would be the image. We want the postal markings and the markings of travel to be part of the image. So they come individually to me, and that's the idea of it being a postcard. But it's not a purchase postcard. It's a handmade card, and there should be 13 identical prints.
And why is the travel important?
There's a sense in printmaking that we enjoy our connection to traditional or commercial modes of printmaking. And so the tradition of the postcard, we're acknowledging that connection. And we like the idea of collaboration. And in a sense, we're collaborating with the U.S. Postal Service and international postal services as well, because we do, over the years, we have had participants. I counted last night in preparation for this, but there have been 25 countries that people have participated from, everything from Australia through the alphabet, through China, Croatia, Germany, Iceland, Iran, Latvia, all the way up through Turkey and the United Arab Emirates. And
so how do these people find out about the exhibit?
Well, my background is that I've been very involved in the national level. There's a print organization that's been around for 30 to 40 years, and it's the largest organization in the country, and I was president of that. So I have a very large network, and the organization has extended into international participation. So I just keep growing my email list, growing and growing and growing it, and we send it out, and people who participate share it with their friends and so on.
What's the most interesting country that has sent you postcards?
I was really moved by the ones from Iran. They were beautiful images, very well done. From one of it, there was one, is the word burqa? There was a group of women, and they were all in burqas, and it was for an exchange, the theme of which was disguise. Mm. And so here were these women that were completely covered in burqas, and it was very moody. The year following, I think it was two or three Iranian women who participated, I was invited to then review one of their shows. They had the images online, and I was invited to contribute an essay to their catalog, and that was quite meaningful. And then they sent me a catalog of the show, and so I made a statement during for the show up that's this year, and I'd like to just read it. During this time of fear over the other and policy discussions regarding the closing of our borders to those in need, it's refreshing to find that through art we can reach around the world and celebrate our common humanity. And that's just – it's made it feel – this project has made the world feel closer and has made me understand our commonness, the common things that – the things we share.
Do you find that it goes both ways?
I think so. I mean, I get responses from – often I get email responses from participants, and they're really thrilled to have been involved and to participate.
What kind of things do they say?
Well, let's see. I received a couple of responses. I'll share this one. This isn't international, but – four members of the Dayton Printers Cooperative, perhaps more, participated in the print exchange that you offer. We enjoyed showing to each other the postcards that we got and talking about the different techniques and creativity of the participants. Thank you for offering this yearly opportunity of exchange, interesting prints.
If you contribute prints to the exhibition, you get prints back, right?
Right. So what happens is there's a tradition in printmaking, because we don't make one of an image, but we create what's called an addition, a group of identical prints, we're asking participants to send in 13. When we get them, we distribute them, and each participant gets 12 cards back, and they're randomly selected. So what we do the day of distribution, and I think I sent you a photograph of the distribution process that you said you could,
yes,
you could post on your website.
Yes, it's a great picture. We'll put it on our website.
Oh, that'd be great.
Of all of the photograph, all the postcards laid out on the table. It's pretty wild.
So there's a table in the print studio that's very long, and what we do is we put on one end all the cards received that are from the East Coast, then in the center is the Midwest, and then on the left side would be the West Coast. The international cards are put on another table. And when we pick up one person's envelope, we have to make return envelopes that we put cards in. So we pick up a card from someone in, let's say, in Ames. We won't choose any other Ames people. So we'll pick a couple from the East Coast, from the West Coast, maybe from Chicago, and then we'll go over. Everyone gets an international card, and we try to vary. You get a little bit of some black and white. You get some color. You get from each of the processes that I mentioned. And so we try to distribute. We try to make it so that there's some that maybe are more student-made, and then some that have a little more skill, let's say. And so you get a range. And again, hi, April, this is another response. I have just received my postcards. They are brilliant. Many thanks. Please send me an email for next year's exchange. I get a lot of those kinds of things.
Wow, that's awesome. So you're somewhere between an art exhibit, a pen pal club, and a chain letter.
I never thought of it that way, but yeah.
Plus you support the U.S. postal system.
Absolutely. They've been wonderful, because when we come in with these, we have brown envelopes stuffed with a thank you letter that lets participants know how many participants there were and from what countries, and we kind of break it down. And then we have their 12 postcards. And on the back of each postcard, we ask people to write their email address and also the title and so forth. So then they can correspond. If you get a card and you like it, there's the pen pal.
And it's definitely a way for printmakers to find each other all over the world. And obviously, if you see something you really like, it's of interest. Now, to be clear, these are also exhibited here in Ames.
Yes. Yeah, so we keep one of each of the participants, and then I made many years ago hanging holders. They're out of clear vinyl, and they allow about 7 cards to be slid into the holder, and they hang. They're vertical, and we have probably 20 or 30 of these long vertical hangers that hang from the ceiling, and they're in clear containers so that you can see both front and back. So it's like walking through an exhibit of a forest of trees, only they're prints. This year, we decided, and I have a very enthusiastic president, Jordan Lukow, and he organized a juried show of student work based on the same theme of heroin. And we had, let's see if I remember how many there were.
Jordan is a student at Iowa State?
Yes, he is. He's a fine arts student. 42 students or 42 submissions were placed. And Letitia Kennemer, who works at the university, selected 18 works. And so those are also on display around the perimeter of the gallery.
Postcards
can be bought. The postcards can be bought, yes. And it is what's called a silent auction. And what that means is each postcard slot is numbered. And so if you like number 7, you go to a book around the perimeter of the gallery, you find number 7. Now, sometimes the one that you want is very appealing to many people, and there can be bidding wars. And bidding ends at 5 o'clock on this Friday, and I have had people who really want the card badly, and they wait around until 5 o'clock Friday
to make sure that they get the final bid.
That money then goes to support students going to the conference each year. And so it's a wonderful way to support students. And there are people, staff and faculty in the college who have a really nice collection of small prints now that they actually hang in their houses.
Is this a unique type of exhibit? Do other people do this too?
There are others. I think this one might be the longest lasting one, but there are others, and there are exchanges. For instance, I'm often invited to participate in print exchanges that are larger, and everyone makes one for everybody. The one I'm currently working on is in honor of Bell Hooks, who's a very important feminist African-American poet. And we're doing there's a portfolio in her honor based on a book that she wrote. So what that means is I have a lot of portfolios from colleagues across the country, and having that collection is a wonderful teaching tool.
Uh-huh. If you're just joining us, this is Local Talk, and I'm Ursula Rudenberg, your host for today, and I'm speaking with April Katz, who's professor of printmaking at Iowa State University, and the ISU Print Society, which is a student group, will host its 15th annual International Postcard Print Exchange and juried show student exhibitions. And there also will be a silent auction, as April was just mentioning, for purchasing the postcards that come from all over the world. The exhibit is from November 30th through December 4th at the ISU College of Design. And the exhibition hours are 8 a.m. to 5 p.m., weekdays in Gallery 181, right?
That's right.
Which is located in the first floor of the College Design Building on the west side of the Iowa State campus, right across the street from the Armory, right?
Yeah, kind of diagonal, yeah.
April, how did this exhibit get started? You're saying this may be the longest-running postcard exchange. How did this get started?
Whew. You know, I'm not remembering the exact start. I have had some amazing students over the years, and it began in 2001. And I could tell you that the number of participants has grown over the years. I don't think we even had a show the first year. I think we did the exchange and just
did it for
kind
the fun of connecting with other printmakers.
And then we had the show for a few years, and we would combine cards from a number of shows. And then gradually we added the idea of the silent auction, and that really kind of made word spread. And now it's just an annual event that's really well supported.
Mm-hmm. And April, you are a professor at the College of Visual Art, and tell me what it's called again.
It's in the College of Design.
College of Design.
And the department is Art and Visual Culture.
And you're the sole printmaking teacher?
That's right. I do have a graduate assistant, Alexis Dwyer, who is she'll be graduating this May, and she has been teaching the beginning level of printmaking. We have in the sophomore year in our program 8-week courses for each of the media areas, and Alexis has been teaching those beginning classes.
And you're an accomplished printmaker, and also, as you mentioned before, you were president of a National Printmaking Association. Mm-hmm. How did you get into making prints?
I had a wonderful and unusual beginning. My undergraduate degree from Buffalo State College in New York was art education, and I got a job teaching at North High School in Omaha. And the first couple of years, I just was running as fast as I could to keep ahead of the students. But gradually, I got kind of control of it and was ready to start making some art. And I received an invitation from Tom Majeski from the University of Nebraska, Omaha, who invited local high school teachers to bring one skilled senior to a series of Saturday free workshops on learning this thing called lithography. Well, my student ended up dropping out, but I fell in love with the process. And Tom took me under his wing, and after class he would meet me and taught me the process. He changed my life. I was moving in one direction, teaching high school. I got bit by the printmaking bug and took a 180 and became a very serious artist, started working in that studio, making prints, got into galleries, decided to go to grad school, and he changed my life. Mm-hmm. And it was a wonderful change. It really was perfect, and I hope to do that for some of my students. And I have. I mean, there've been a number of students who were susceptible to that same print bug, and Asa Wenzel Fisher, who is in charge of Whole Hog Press, he's established that in Ames. It's right near Wheatsfield. Was one of my students, and he fell in love with printmaking, went on and went for education in Albuquerque and became a master printer, and he now has a contract print shop.
And he does lithography at Whole Hog Press.
He mostly does lithography, but he did just get a letterpress, and he does screen printing and woodcuts. He does the whole range.
And he works with a lot of artists who want to realize a work of art in lithography, but who don't necessarily know how to do lithography. He kind of collaborates with them.
That's exactly right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so there are people like that, and then there's people like me who do their own work. So in my own practice, I use lithography. That was my initial love, but I incorporate also intaglio and relief printmaking and a lot of digital printmaking. And I'll do some shameless advertising here. I'd love to have people look at my work. It's at April Katz, and that's katz.com, and you could see my work on that site.
That's aprilkatz.com,
yeah.
K-A-T-Z.
Yeah.
And we'll also post the link on our website, on our homepage. So there is a kind of a community of printmakers in Iowa. And from what I gather from this exhibit, really it's an international community of people that connect in different ways around printing.
Yeah, I think part of the community feeling in printmaking is that while I have my own press and some people do, generally, people work in a community shop, and so you're in a shop working together, using the same printing press, sharing facilities, and so it becomes more of a communal kind of energy. And the conferences show that they're very friendly, they're very supportive. People are very generous in sharing information and supporting each other. And yeah, there is a sense of family almost.
If you've just joined us, we're talking with April Katz, professor of printmaking at Iowa State, and we're discussing the International Postcard Print Exchange that is occurring this week, November 30th through December 4th at the ISU College of Design, west of campus, across the street from the Armory by Cemetery Hill. And the exhibition hours are 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. And you can see all the postcards from all over the world. The theme this year is heroin, which is not necessarily about the drug. It's also about heroes and women. And you can actually buy some postcards if you like one, or just come and see what different people have done throughout the world in regards to this topic. I guess, you know, when you talked about the sense of community that comes with printing, you touched on this a little bit at the beginning of our interview, and I kind of want to end with this in asking you what it really means to do an exhibit like this and to connect with people all over the world through printmaking. Over the years, it's been 15 years now, what do you see this really means to you and to other people?
We all have our own passions and the things that really drive us. And I seem to have a passion for ink on paper. And so it connects me to those people who share that passion. It's a way to also empower people. There are people who participate in this exchange who are high school students, who are college students, who are artists just working on their own, and then there are groups of folks who participate. And the idea that through printmaking we can reach across differences in age, differences in experience, differences in culture, and all come together in some kind of common endeavor is a model that we need in this world.
It's transcendent, really.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I learned something just during this interview. I never would have imagined some women in Iran wearing burqas being printmakers.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just kind of a wake-up call to remind us that there's just so many things that we have in common with people that we wouldn't expect. You know, that's very, very nice thing for me to imagine.
And I'd like to also just encourage listeners to participate in next year's exchange. So next year's exchange, the theme is abstracted simplicity.
Wow. That's an abstracted concept.
It's a very abstract concept. I've been looking at politics and thinking that some of these politicians are simplifying issues in a way that seems like simplification. So I'm thinking I might participate this year. At any rate, the entries are due Friday, April 15th. And if you have any questions about it or want to find out more, you can either email me or the president of the Print Society, Jordan Luckow, and his email is jalukow@iastate.edu. And we would be happy to send you a description of what's needed.
Okay, and the email address will be included on our website, which is khoifm.org. We always post the shows at least by the end of the day on our homepage at khoifm.org. So you will find that email there in case you weren't able to write it down while April was talking. Thank you so much for joining us, April. It's such an interesting thing to hear about, and it sounds like a lot of fun. So thank you so much. Any last words before we head out?
I hope to see a lot of Ames return addresses on postcards this year.
Oh, excellent.
And I hope you do make it to the show this week.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ursula.
When you ask how I've been here without you, I like to say I've been fine, and I do. But we both know the truth is hard to come by. And if I told the truth, that's not quite true. Some days a diamond, some days a stone, sometimes a heart. I see in my mirror more and more is a stranger to me. More and more I can see there's a danger in becoming what I never thought I'd be. Some days a diamond, some Sometimes a hard time won't leave me alone. Sometimes a cold wind blows a chill in my bones. Some days a diamond, some days a stone.
This is Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio, where we explore people's stories and events in Central Iowa, and that was Some Days Are Diamond by John Denver. So nice to hear from you, John. I'm your host today, Ursula Rudenberg, and it's a pleasure to be with you. Thanks for listening in. Allison Walter has joined us from the Ames Convention and Visitors Bureau. Thank you for joining us, Allison.
Good morning. Thank you.
For your monthly check-in to let us know what public events are in store for the month of December.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome. Well, naturally, it's going to be about the holidays, right?
Right. Well, there are a number of things going on this month. We have such a variety of unique opportunities, different things to do. And, for example, the Boone and Scenic Valley Railroad, they have their Santa train this time of year. And you can ride the Santa train to the North Pole. You get to meet Santa on the train, and you'll receive a little special gift. And the train will take you to the train depot at the North Pole. And then you can also enjoy some hot cocoa and cookies, hear stories of Santa's Scenic Valley ride. And
so the North Pole is in Central Iowa.
It is. Mm. Yes, you can get there by train.
Wow.
Yeah. And you can wear your PJs and Yes. Yeah. They have lots of kids and families that come in their PJs and
in the middle of the day.
Uh-huh. Yeah, because it's sort of that Polar Express type of atmosphere. So they have a number of different trains, different times throughout the month of December. So check their website and make your reservations. And they do recommend that you get your tickets ahead of time.
And the website?
Is Boone and Scenic Valley RR.com. Boone and Scenic Valley RR.com. Or go to our website, which is visitames.com, and you can see the different days and times, and then from there get hooked up to their website directly.
So a lot of the stuff you're going to tell us about, you can find the information
at
visitames.com.
Yes. Everything about is on our website. So
okay.
I took these things straight off of our event calendar.
Okay, excellent. All right. So there's the Boone and Scenic Valley.
Yep. And Altrusa, local service organization, women have organized their holiday home tour again this year. And this is the next weekend, Saturday and Sunday, the 5th and 6th. And they have six homes across the community that will be open for tours. And it's a lovely event. They really have them decorated to the hilt. And they usually have some unique aspects to the different homes. And they work with the local florists organizations to help with the decorating. So it's a wonderful opportunity to really get you in the spirit. And
and this is in Ames?
Yep, throughout Ames. They'll have six different homes. And
so you're basically going into people's
yes,
private homes.
Yes. Mm-hmm. They open them up for the day. And it's very inspirational. You know, if you just need some new ideas on decorating your home, it's a great way to get inspired. So that's this upcoming weekend, Saturday and Sunday. And it's late morning to early evening. So,
uh-huh.
And you can get tickets through anyone that's involved with the Altrusa Club or mm-hmm. I think at any of the florists as well.
Hmm.
This weekend is also the Lucky Star Market. This is a wonderful holiday market. This is the third time that they are doing their holiday market. It'll be out at the Prairie Moon Winery. There'll be wonderful food and drink and Santa Claus, but there'll also be more than 35 local talented handmade art and gift vendors. And so it's a wonderful place to do some shopping.
So that's a craft show of sorts?
Yes. Yep. Mm-hmm. And they have vintage, they have crafts, they have some very nice artwork available as well. And it's pretty much local vendors. So you can find that perfect holiday gift or decorations. And it is, there's a preview party that is, there's a ticket that you can buy for Friday evening from 6 to 9. And then the market is also open all day on Saturday out at Prairie Moon Winery. And then you can also tour the farmhouse on campus, and they have it all decorated for the holiday season. This Friday is Winterfest. This weekend, Friday, Saturday, mm-hmm. Sunday, is Winterfest on campus. And one of the fun things to do is to tour the farmhouse and see what Christmas was like in the Victorian age.
The farmhouse is the original house of Iowa State.
Yes, it
correct?
Is. It's the original house on campus.
And
it was
a museum.
The home of the president of the university.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So now it is open for tours.
Now let's talk about music for a minute.
Yes.
What
wonderful
holiday music?
Wonderful holiday music. We have Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, and that will be this Thursday at Stevens Auditorium. So it's a stage adaptation of that wonderful television show that we've watched for years and the song that we sing every year. And so Rudolph will be soaring into Stevens Auditorium, and that show is Thursday, December 3rd at 6:30. So, of course, it's a great family show, so they are doing a little bit earlier times.
Well, figures if the North Pole is in central Iowa, we would have reindeer.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yes. He should make a stop. Yes. The Ames Children's Choir is having their holiday concert. And this mm-hmm. program has a variety of holiday music. And they'll have accompaniment by a piano, a harp, a flute, a cello, a ukulele, and, of course, percussion.
Ukulele.
Yeah. And the children's choirs consist of three choirs of boys and girls from ages 8 to 18. So it's a really unique choir, and it has children from Ames, Boone, Colo, Des Moines, Huxley, Nevada, Ogden, and Slater. And they're having their concert on Sunday afternoon, December 6th. And then we also have the Ames Choral Society with their holiday concert, which is Sunday afternoon, December 13th. And so you get to enjoy some favorite holiday songs, and there'll also be some sing-along.
And where will that be?
That is at the Northminster Presbyterian Church, I think, is where they perform each year. We also have the Nutcracker Ballet, which
is at Stevens Auditorium.
At Stevens Auditorium, and it is the traditional ballet, and it will have dancers from a number of Central Iowa communities, dancers of all ages, from young to old, and then they also bring in two professional dancers for the principal parts. And it's a wonderful tradition.
Do you know who produces that?
That is produced by Robert Thomas and Miyoko Kato Thomas of the Dance Center here in Ames. And they've done this for, I believe, almost 30 years. It's a wonderful holiday tradition. And they have shows on Saturday and Sunday, a couple of shows each day. You can get your tickets through Stevens Auditorium. And then we also have Mannheim Steamroller this year performing. And the holidays are, you know, they're a wonderful time, very traditional for Mannheim Steamroller. And so it's all their Christmas hits. And they'll have their multimedia effects. They are, of course, a Grammy Award-winning Chip Davis directs and co-produces the tour. And they are 40 million albums and 20 million albums in the of Christmas music alone. Their holiday, albums are synonymous with Christmas. So.
Yeah.
Yes.
Are there any particular events that are really family-oriented?
Oh, definitely. Mm-hmm. This is a great time of year for families. The Ryman Gardens is doing their Butterfly Blizzard again this year, and this has been a great hit. They've actually got two Saturdays, December 5th and December 19th. First thing in the morning, 8 o'clock, you can come in from the cold and experience a different kind of blizzard, a butterfly blizzard in the Christina Ryman Butterfly Wing, and you actually get to release a butterfly. And so everyone that's signed up will come inside to the tropical butterfly garden, butterfly wing, and you get a little box. And at at the appropriate time, everyone opens their box and the butterflies take flight. And it's wonderful. It's a great opportunity. So that's open to kids of all ages. We also have an opportunity with Art Sakati, who's a glassblower here, and he has his studio out in west of Ames in near Napier. Mm-hmm. He is doing a blow-your-own-glass ball workshop. And so you will actually blow an ornament about 3 inches in diameter, and it's a fun activity. You work directly with Art. You have a set time that you have to spend with him. So it's appropriate for kids, anyone, even as young as age 6.
Wow, that's beautiful.
Yeah, and mm-hmm. you follow his directions and blow your own glass ball. Mm. We also have a geocache elf hunt. You know, the elves, we're close to the North Pole.
So there's elves.
Reindeer, yep.
And they're doing geocache?
They're doing geocache out at North McFarland Park with Story County Conservation. So on Saturday, December 12th, you get to learn how to use a GPS unit, and then you go out into the woods of McFarland Park and find some elves and some of the special things that they have hidden in the park. And there's just a real variety of
elves
wonderful workshops and demonstrations that are going on throughout the community. Ryman Gardens, for example, has a number of workshops, including a wreath making and one that they are calling Crafty Cocktail Night, where they're making ornaments. And, of course, Cook's Emporium has a number of holiday cooking demonstrations. They're doing kringla and cookies and a gingerbread house workshop. So you can find out details about those, again, on our website, which is visitames.com.
Mm-hmm.
So,
wow.
Yeah,
so
all
stuff
kinds
is
of
happening.
Things going. Yes.
Now, I have nephews. One of them is planning to come to Iowa State.
Wonderful.
This coming semester.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, lots of people want Iowa State gifts.
Yes, sure. Well, I would definitely suggest to head to Campus Town. You know, there's been a lot of construction, a lot of renovations and things going on in Campus Town. And there's some new retail establishments there. Some of your favorites as well. Dogtown University does great screened apparel and embroidered apparel. Campus Spirit is a new shop that's in one of those retail spaces along Lincoln Way in the new buildings. And, of course, the University Bookstore in the Memorial Union. And they have a wide variety of things, wonderful giftware and games, as well as apparel. And, of course, you can find you can find Cyclone gear across the community. But good reason to head to Campus Town.
So, Allison, what do you like to do?
Oh, gosh.
During the holidays.
You know, I love to just even stroll up and down Main Street. The stores have wonderful displays, and I do 99% of my Christmas shopping and my gift shopping locally here in the community. I think that's really important. As a former retailer, I think it's great to shop local, and it's amazing all the different things that you can find in Ames, and there's really no need to go online or go out of town to do most of your Christmas shopping.
I noticed on Saturday was
Small Business Saturday.
That
yes.
was like a national promotional event to encourage people to reserve some of the money from Black Friday to bring to local businesses, right?
Right. Yep.
It is a significant time of year for all of the business community. Obviously,
yes.
It's the time when really a large amount of their support comes for the work they're doing.
Yes, there are a number of businesses that they say they do 75% of their business
75%
in this time frame between Thanksgiving and the end of the year.
75%.
Isn't that crazy? Yeah.
Wow. So if you do shop local, you really
it
you
really
know,
makes a difference.
It really makes a difference.
Yes.
It's really, really incredible. 75%.
Yes.
Well, thank you so much for joining us. Any last words before we give?
Just to remind people of our website, visitames.com. If you have friends and family joining you, looking for something to do, you know, there's wonderful things to do in our community. And so always check that out for our event calendar and plan to do something here in the community.
Yeah, and this is Allison Walter. She's from the Ames Convention and Visitors Bureau. And usually Allison comes in once a month to kind of give us a I don't know, a preview of what's coming.
Right.
And usually Allison comes in with this huge spreadsheet.
It's a little overwhelming sometimes.
This time she didn't come with the spreadsheet. She came with a laptop. But I suspect that the things you told us put a small dent in.
Yes. As I pulled that spreadsheet, I came up with, I think it was 82 things on the spreadsheet that you could do this month. And that just, I just pulled through December 25th. So, And you know, we do have one thing to mention. The Ames JCs do a wonderful New Year's Eve event. So you can find out information about that on our website if you're thinking about what to do for New Year's Eve.
Okay. So if you want to plan out the month, the information's at visitames.com.
Yep.
And you can make a plan.
Yes.
For what all's going to happen for festivities. Pretty rich menu of stuff.
It is. It's amazing when you see what all the things that are going on.
So it is time to close the show.
Okay.
Thank you for coming, Allison.
You're welcome.
You've been listening to Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio, where we talk about people, stories, and events in Central Iowa. Thank you for joining us today. I've been your host, Ursula Rudenberg, and Allison Walter has been with me here from the Ames Convention and Visitors Bureau talking about the holiday season in Central Iowa, where the North Pole exists.
Exactly.
Earlier in the hour, I spoke with April Katz, professor of printmaking at Iowa State University Department of Art and Visual Design, about another public event that fits in with the holiday time, and that's the 15th Annual International Postcard Print Exchange and Juried Student Exhibition and Silent Auction this week from November 30th through December 4th at the ISU College of Design, and that is over west of campus, across the street from the Iowa State Cemetery and the Armory. And this is hosted by the Iowa State University Print Society. Exhibition hours are 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Local Talk can be heard today again at noon and 7 p.m. And you can also listen to the entire show and all of our past Local Talk shows online at our website, khoifm.org. That's khoifm.org. And there you'll also find information about the people you heard today and the things that they told us about and links to the various information online, including visitames.com. Local Talk was engineered by Richard Morrison. Thank you, Rick. Our theme song is Backtracking by Al Harris and Tom Richards from their CD, The Ballad of Kate Shelley. Other music you heard today was John Denver with Some Days Are Diamond. Local Talk is a radio production training workshop as well as a radio show, which means you can be part of our team of volunteer reporters. We'll train you, and you will learn about our community and probably enjoy and love it as much as we do. If you'd like to join the team as a member, as a reporter member, contact us at 292-2878. That's 292-878, or contact us through khoifm.org. If you enjoyed this show, please tell your friends, and remember, your participation as audience is what makes KHOI possible and meaningful. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you again on the radio.
I like to say I've been fine, and I do. But we both know the truth is hard to come by. And if I told the truth, that's not quite true. Some days a diamond, some days a stone, sometimes a heart. Monday's a diamond.